be done for the kingdom by this lectureship as well as any proclamation of God's Word throughout the world. And in our lesson tonight, we are going to be talking about the necessity and benefit of the Great Commission. It is sad to say that in the world in which we live today, and unfortunately in much of the, many of the Christians or many of the churches that we are familiar with today, that the fulfillment of the Great Commission is certainly not there. We are sometimes, or at least we try to describe ourselves as being very mission-minded people. And generally when we think of mission, we think of something outside of the United States, generally in India or Africa or some other country in the world. And certainly these are mission fields, and I commend those who have taken the time in their lives to go, whether on extended leaves or on shorter leaves, to go into these countries and to preach the message throughout the world. But also, I have realized over the last several years that the mission work that we are doing, or at least our idea of mission work being more in the foreign fields than it is in our domestic fields, has really hurt us in that attitude, because we have forgotten that we are all in a mission field, wherever we might be. You know, and we need to keep that in mind as we talk about taking the Great Commission out into the world. You know, in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 20, at the end of the commission, as Jesus was giving it there in that section, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, the things which I have committed unto you among faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also. The idea expressed in both of those passages of Scripture is a continuity of the teaching of God's Word. We have had lessons dealing with various aspects from God's Word and some very great lessons from God's Word, and hopefully that we will all take these lessons to heart and study them deeper and learn more about what has been said in these particular lessons. But let us remember that those of us who preach the gospel on a more or less full-time basis, as we think of ourselves as the preachers, that we are not the only ones who have been charged with the taking of the Great Commission. Elders aren't the only ones that are charged with taking of the Great Commission. Every Christian, man, woman, or child who happens to be a Christian is charged with fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's what it's going to take if we are ever going to change this world and literally turn the world upside down again. We have gotten away from it because we have become quite lazy in our lives. See, I work as a plant administrator. I work out in, they say, the real world, you know. Well, I know what it's like to talk about lazy people, because we have some people who are very, very good workers, really put themselves into it, give you everything that they can give you, and we have some people who, for the lack of better terms, just don't. They just don't give you a whole lot. And it becomes easy for us as human beings to let somebody else do the work for us. We see it constantly. Like I said, in the secular world, I see it constantly. If someone would kind of slack off and goof off, well, a good worker is going to come over and pick up the slack for them because it needs to be done. Well, once that happens, you've set a precedent. You know, the lazy worker continues to allow you to come over there and do all the work for them. And so, like I heard back years ago, a preacher talking about his congregation, he said it was a very willing congregation. 10% were willing to do the work, 90% were willing to let them. And that's the idea that is expressed more times than not in most congregations of God's people. And that we have to be careful in and of ourselves that we realize individually that we have been charged with the keeping of the Great Commission and to take the gospel into the world. Now this particular lesson tonight is actually going to have its basis out of Romans chapter 10. So if you wish to turn with me there, Romans chapter 10, beginning about verse 13, and going really down through verse 15, that is going to be the at least the basis or the text of our lesson tonight. Because we're not necessarily going to, in this lesson, at least not my plan, is not necessarily to talk about the commission itself. I think we are all familiar with the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That we know what God wants us to do. But this lesson is about the benefit of and the necessity of. You know, oftentimes when I have the opportunity to instruct people in a lot of things, and there's always that why. People always want to know why. Why do I do this? Why should I do this? Well, you know, while sometimes it might be kind of aggravating to us to have to give all these whys, we as people need to know why. In fact, when we know why, we can understand a little bit more about it. We are also more apt to do that. to fulfill whatever that is. And I think often in our lives, as we talk about the Great Commission, that we know what it says, we analyze it, we detail it, we commend those who, like I said, go out and actually preach the gospel in various areas, and we think it's such a great thing, and we want them to continue to do that, and we'll give them the money and so forth to do it. But I don't think many times that we have truly understood why we have the Great Commission. What benefit we get from that? Why is it so necessary that we have this commission? You know, in Romans chapter 10, it really lays it out for us in this. Because beginning in verse 13, he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he goes into a series of logical progression here. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except it says they be sent? As it is written, now notice what he says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I've already been told I can't talk about how pretty my feet are. But look at the idea of what he's saying here. As you bring the progression down through here, he comes to the point that he talks about how can they preach except they be sent. You know, we do sing the song talking about "Send the Light." There's another version of that song that I probably prefer over "Sending the Light," and it's where they have changed the word to "take the light." And the idea is that we have to realize, yes, we want to help people go out into the world and preach wherever that might be, but we also need to realize that we need to take the message out into the world. I think many times that we have forgotten that the world begins in our home. We have failed even also maybe many times to teach our children and teach our grandchildren, to teach our husbands, to teach our wives, to teach our family members. In fact, I know many times, and I know this sadly from many preachers, that many preachers have spent a great deal of time in their lives teaching everybody else and neglecting their families. And that's a shame. But it's also a shame for any of us, whether we are preachers or not, to neglect our families in the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's part of the Great Commission. We are part of the world. Every person in this building is part of the world tonight. And we need to take the message out into the world. Why? And this is what we want to look at. Why is the commission necessary? Now really, when you think about this, and this is going to come from more of a logical to me and a very practical standpoint. One thing I have learned by being a manager is that communication is such a key to everything. I don't care how well your workforce is, how good they are. I don't care how many good machines you have in there, how much capacity that you have in your company. If you don't communicate, you can forget it. People have to know. They have to know exactly what it is that they are supposed to be doing. They have to know what their quotas are or what their aim is, what their goals are. You have to know these things in order to actually accomplish anything. People set goals in their lives personally. You have to have goals or an idea at least of where you're headed, what you want to do in order to accomplish those things. I had the opportunity to talk to a young man the other night, and he was laying out kind of his planned education history. Great little goal set there, and hopefully everything works out and he meets all of those things that he has. But I was just so proud he had a goal. And it wasn't like a lot of people just saying, "Well, I don't know, I'll do something. I don't know, whatever comes along," you know. He had an idea. With that goal, he will be able to accomplish that now. He'll be able to move from step A to step B to step C and finally get there. Well, have you ever thought about what it would be like if we were Christians and had no direction? Or if we had very limited direction? What if I got up before you today and I'm going to give you the direction of what I want you to do, and I'm going to tell you to go teach. And I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to stop with "go teach." I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to put any more words behind it. What are you going to teach over here? Well, I know some of these people over here. So what are you going to teach over here? And then what are you going to teach over here? What are you going to teach in the back? You see, I haven't given you a whole lot of direction yet, have I? So that's why we need communication. Think about this. There's four things, at least in my mind, of why we have the commission. Number one, because we must understand our mission in order to fulfill our goal. You know, without the Great Commission, how many of us would know what we are supposed to do as Christians? Where would you ever get going to all the world and preach the gospel without the commission? Where would we ever get the direction that we need in order to know what we are to do with this message that God has given us? We have to know what our mission is in order to fulfill that mission. Secondly, we have to have a way to teach the message of Christ. You know, there has to be some direction given in how to get that message out there. You see, this particular commission says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Now we also know the scope, we know the who, we know everything about what we are to do. As far as getting that message out there, it is given to us in the commission. Thirdly, we need to have direction in our task. Like I said, if I said, go teach, that would throw it wide open right now for just about anything, wouldn't it? In fact, in the world in which we live today, and unfortunately in the church today, aren't people just going and teaching? They're not really going and teaching the gospel, they're just going and teaching. They're teaching everything that makes people feel good. I never have understood that expression, meet the felt needs of people. I don't really understand what it means other than give them what they want, tickle their ears. You know, it's like the old sow, you lay them down, put the, you know, the corn cob, you take a corn cob behind the ear of an old sow, and that sow will lay there forever. It's going to die probably sooner or later, but it's going to lay there forever because it lacks that. Well, he talks about the tickling of the ears in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Unfortunately, people are a lot like these pigs over here. They also like to have their ears tickled. Go teach what? What makes you feel good? There's a lot of things in life I've been told that didn't necessarily make me feel good, but they certainly made me a better person. He says, go teach the gospel. Now you have that direction in what our tasks are. Also, fourthly, we need to know what we are to teach, that is, what our limits are. So the Great Commission limits us in the teaching also. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now I have a direction in what I am to do, but I also have a limitation to what I am to do. And I can't just go out there and teach anything that feels good to me or anything that I want to teach. Teach whatever, you know, is pleasing to the people out here. I have to teach the gospel. And it's so important because without the gospel, since faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, without the gospel, there is not a person on the world in this earth today that is going to be saved. That's how serious it is to fulfill the Great Commission. Preach the word. So when he looks at us here, at least in my thinking, there's at least four reasons that I can think of as to why we need this commission. If nothing else, it directs us, it guides us, it limits us, it gives us a direction that we need, it helps us to understand our task. And you know, when you really stop and think about it, now that we know our task, we are without excuse, aren't we? See, as long as we're ignorant, sometimes we like to be ignorant. We used to always say ignoranter and ignoranter. We just thought they wanted to be just plumb ignorant. You know, people like that sometimes. Because then they say, well, I didn't know. Well, we are without excuse, literally. We know. Every child of God knows that we are to take the message into the world. Secondly, why is the fulfilling of the commission necessary? Think about that. Why is it so necessary that we do this? Well, to me, there's a very practical standpoint to this. Number one, that simply is because if we don't, we're going to go to hell. Now think about it. If we don't, we're going to go to hell. Why? Because Jesus didn't say, if you feel good today. He didn't say, if it's convenient for you. There's a lot of people, you know, so like Felix and Festus and all the others, you know, they're going to wait till a more convenient season. They're going to wait till things are just right. They're going to wait till they get it just like they want it. It's like people saying, well, I'm going to become a Christian as soon as I get everything just right in my life. How many people have you ever known that ever got everything just right in their life? How many of us, if we start saying, I'm going to do it when, and start putting those wins out there, we never seem to get to the win, do we? We never seem to get to the point of where we actually fulfill that goal that has been set before us. You see, when he looked at us, you know, he didn't say, hopefully one of these days you might find it convenient or you might find it in your life to maybe talk to somebody about the gospel. He said, go. Go ye into all the world And he says, go ye. And that's them. And then teach them to observe all things. Well, part of the all things that has been pointed out in other lessons is to go teach. We don't have an option in this matter. We don't have a choice. We do have a choice. We can either choose to go to hell or we can choose to go to heaven. So in one sense, we do have a choice. But if you and I want to go to heaven, the choice is made. We need to take the message out into the world. Secondly, because we want others to become the servants of God. How are we going to get people to obey the gospel if they don't hear the gospel? You know, there's an old saying that says you cannot teach what you do not know, but you know, there's also a statement, at least I'm going to make an old statement out of it, I'll start it here, it says you cannot obey what you don't know either. It just can't be done. If I don't know something, I can't fulfill it. Oftentimes I've had people come to me at work and say, well, you know, I just can't believe he didn't do what I told him to do. And I said, well, did you tell him what you wanted him to do? And they said, well, no, I didn't. I said, well, then how do you expect him to know? You know, on a secular level, we can understand that. We can understand why it is so important to tell people things and why we really can't hold them accountable to our thinking, to what we want them to do if we don't tell them. We understand that on a secular level, and we realize that God has given us the message, and we know that all people are accountable to that, but we also realize that many people do not study the Bible. Many people do not, even in the societies in which we live today, do not know what the Bible teaches. It's not just in a deepest, darkest country of wherever you want to go. I'm talking about in areas like Michigan, and I'm talking about in areas like Idaho, and I'm talking about in areas like Arkansas and Missouri. There are still people who don't know or don't look and study God's Word, and they need to know. They need to understand. We need to give them that opportunity to be saved. That's so important in their lives, that they have that ability, that time within their lives. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 39, it talks about the second commandment, the second great commandment. And that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. It's repeated again in James chapter 2 and verse 8 about fulfilling the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, then will we not also want them to go to heaven? Will we not also want them to have that opportunity to go to heaven? You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I love my, and they, whoever you want to list down there, you know, I love my aunt, my uncle, my brother, my sister, I love my best friend, you know, all these. We have all these things we love. My question would be, is if we do not teach them the gospel, if we do not give them the opportunity to obey Jesus Christ, do we love them? See, that's how serious it is. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I almost guarantee you that I could walk up to any person in this building right now and say, do you want to go to heaven? And anybody I would ask right now in this building especially would tell me yes. Do you want your neighbor to go to heaven? How are you going to expect him to figure it all out? How are we going to expect our family to figure it all out? How are we going to expect our friends, our co-workers, and others to figure it all out if we don't put the message out there and give them that opportunity? You know, another reason that we need to fulfill the Great Commission is simply because we want them to know also that we are the servants of God. You know, I mentioned a story in the last lesson that I had about the lady who was arrested because she had all the famous so-called Christian bumper stickers on her car, you know, what would Jesus do, honk if you love Jesus and all that. And the officer pulled her out of the car and arrested her because she was having a frantic tirade against the person in front of her and acting like everything other than a Christian. And he thought maybe she'd stolen the car because, you know, of all the things that he had seen here. You know, when you think about our lives, how many of us, though, maybe we don't lose control in the automobile act, you know, automobile and start, you know, ranting and raving against people around us. But how many of us would people really know that we are Christians by the life that we live? You see, I've talked to people in the world. I know others have too. And I've talked to people that know the Bible pretty well. At least they know what a Christian is supposed to do. And so they know the things that they can't do if they decide to become a Christian, but they also know, they understand this about going and teaching. If they don't see us living God's Word and teaching God's Word and practicing God's Word and being obedient to God and being the servants of God that we ought to be, how are we ever going to convince these people that we are the servants of God? So that's the idea that he's expressing to us. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men." Why? That they may see your good works, right? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, very same idea, that they can see your good works, that by the things which they see in your life. See, people need to be able to see Christ living in us. They need to see us with Christianity in action. In fact, we really don't have a whole lot of Christianity if it's not in action. Now think about it. There are a lot of people in this world who claim to be Christians. But see, a Christian is a disciple of a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. That's what we are described as. We are talking about being the disciples of Jesus Christ. That also is a follower of. You know, we have people who are disciples of a lot of things in this world, or followers of a lot of things. And you know how we know that they are? By the things that they do. That's how we know. You know, I've seen up our way, you know, it gets pretty cold in the wintertime, living up close to the lakes like that too. And, you know, I've seen guys out there from like the firemen and the Rotary Club and things like that standing out on the street corners trying to take donations for some charity that they're working with. And it's snowing and it's raining. You know, I may think they're pretty stupid, but one thing I also think too is that they are pretty dedicated to whatever they are doing. They're pretty dedicated, if nothing else, for standing out in the traffic in our area. But, you know, the people are they're committed. And I know it because I see it in them. What about us? What do people see in us? I want to encourage the young people. There's a lot of young people here tonight. And that's one thing that's always encouraged me about this lectureship particularly, is the amount of young people that we have here. I want to encourage you to realize that you also, if you are a child of God, are to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Don't wait till you get old, you know, up there at about that old age of 25, 30, the drop-dead age of about 35, 40. Don't wait till you get up there. And then decide, now I'm going to be a soul winner. You run into people every day just like we run into people every day. You can influence them for Christ just like we can influence them for Christ. Every person must be a soul winner. They need to see in you, they need to see in me, they need to see in everybody around them. If you are a Christian, if I am a Christian, they need to see us living Christianity. He helps us to understand that we are to be an example in a lot of things. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. But among the things that we are to be an example in is an example of faith. People need to see that we believe what we teach. And they need to hear us teaching it, and they need to know that we are the children of God. See, there is necessary to fulfill the Great Commission. It's necessary also for us to help people come out of darkness and into light. I can't even begin to imagine what judgment is going to be like. I've preached a lot of lessons on judgment and the judgment day concept. I've written little stories or whatever, you know, just to kind of help me understand some of the things that are going on. And you know, I've really tried to picture that and put it down into words as best I possibly can of what judgment is going to be like on both sides of judgment, for both those who are rewarded and those who are standing everlastingly condemned. And for the life of me, I cannot picture how horrible it's going to be to hear God say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." And there are going to be a lot of people, and I know that there's going to be a lot of people who stand at the judgment seat who are going to be lost. The Bible tells me few will be saved, and I know that. How many of those people are going to stand before the judgment seat of God and be able to sing a song that frightens me to death? "You never mentioned him to me." I know they're going to be lost. But do we dare ourselves want to go and try to go before the judgment seat of God with that on our plate? So obviously it's necessary to give them that opportunity to come out of darkness, to come out of a situation where they will be eternally lost and into a situation where they will be eternally rewarded. To call them out of darkness and into His marvelous light, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. You see, it is so necessary for us to teach the gospel, to fulfill the Great Commission. And when we think about it, thirdly, in this particular lesson, what are the benefits? I know much of what we have talked about is the necessity of doing it. Also talks about the benefits. But really, what are some of the benefits that come our way? Well, number one, at least in my thinking, and it's not necessarily number one in top priority, but as I was writing and putting it down, this is the way it came out. Number one is to train future generations to teach the gospel. You know, again, we already mentioned 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 that we are to teach faithful men that they might be able to teach others also. That's a passage of teaching the propagation of the gospel. We were talking earlier throughout the week about one of the, you know, the problems that we have in the church, and it was just brought up in this discussion that the problem that we really have is teaching or lack thereof. You know, we fill up our time with our young people and with ourselves and whatever with a lot of things except the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not training future generations. You see, that expression in Matthew 28:20 of teaching them to observe all things is not limited just to those that we are trying to convert. That's a passage, really, if you study it very carefully, is an extended passage that we are to continue to teach. And you know, and one of the sad things that I have witnessed, and I know probably many others have too, is that we work really, really hard to convert a person. And we might spend months converting that person. And then once we finally get them into the baptistry and we've got them all converted as we think about it, we pick them up and we kind of toss them back out there and then a bunch of wolves jump on them. And we leave them alone. We don't continue to teach them. Don't think that a person that has now decided to become a child of God is grounded in the faith. He's not. We are to continue to teach, continue to ground that person. We need to take a whole lot of time and maybe even more time after they become Christians in teaching them the gospel. There are so many things that can help us in that, but we already have the greatest thing in the world, and that's the Bible. Open it up and teach them how to be a Christian, how to remain a Christian. They're going to face so many things in life. And you think about this. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "There arose a generation that knew not God." That's a very frightening and sad verse to me, to think about that particular time and all the things that were going on. And suddenly there's a generation that doesn't really care about God. Let me ask you this. How close are we right now to a generation that doesn't care about God? And I can tell you why. Because we have begun to teach a social gospel and not the truth. We raised a generation of people who have been entertained in their lives. And now they need more elephants. And they don't want the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we want to train future generations to be preachers, and don't think it's the work of all the preacher schools out there to do that job. So back several years ago, I was preaching in Derrick's, Arkansas. And one of the deacons there, a real good friend of mine, we were sitting, he always sat about where Jeremy's sitting over here. He and his family sat on the second row up there. And I was on the front because we were right before service and we were talking. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, I would really, really like to preach the gospel one day." And I said, "You know, I'm going to be gone next Sunday. You can preach." He almost fell off the pew, but he just kind of looked at me. You know, the amazing thing was he did it. And to this day, he works a secular job because that's what he was doing at that time. But he is still preaching down in that area of the country. It's an innocent remark on my part. I was actually kind of joking with him, you know, that I'm going to be gone next week and you can have it. But I've thought about that particular idea and a number of people that I have been able to encourage to preach the gospel. I know others have been able to encourage by just simply giving them that training and that motivation and that encouragement that they need to go out and to preach the Word. You don't have to be a schooled scholar. You don't have to have a bunch of titles over behind your name in order to preach the Word. It's here. And it's our responsibility as Christians, and especially as those as we get more mature and aged, and I'm getting into the aged, as we get there, that it is our responsibility to take these people and help them to understand the Word of God and encourage them and motivate them to preach the Word. Every congregation of God's people throughout the United States and throughout the world needs to be doing that. If we did that, we would take the world by storm and we would stop liberalism overnight. That's what it's going to take. What else? It'll help us grow individually. Teachers all know this. The best student of the Bible, generally speaking, is the teacher in the class. At least the best prepared. One who has learned the most, because it takes a lot to prepare a lesson. It takes a lot to encourage others and to teach others and to dig out those answers. And it helps us individually to grow. You know, the Bible does teach us in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and following that, you know, by reason of time, we should become teachers. It is an absolute sin. I'm not even going to say shame. It's an absolute sin if we as Christians do not mature to the level of teachers. And sadly, I have known people who have been in members of the Lord's church for 20, 25, 30 years who could not and would not teach a class, who could not and would not teach another person individually. And a lot of it was simply because, and they'll tell you this, I just don't know. And do we really want to stand before the judgment seat of God and tell Him that I've been a Christian for 25, 30, 35, 40, 50 years, 15 years, 10 years, or whatever, and I never matured? By reason of time, you ought to be teachers, but you have reason that people teach you or need to teach you. We need to bring glory to the name of God. Think about it. That's what happens when you go out, because as he talks about these, as we read in 1 Peter 4 and we read in Matthew chapter 5, that part of that, as he says, that they would see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father. Say, I'm just an instrument and you're just an instrument. That's all it amounts to. We're not anything great. And we ever start thinking we're anything great, we need somebody to come along and slap us and get us back down into position. Because all we are the instruments of God. It's our job to be able to go out and to teach the Word and to preach it and be an instrument for God to bring that message out into the world. And in everything that we do, we bring glory to the name of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. We want Him to be exalted. I have 27 points and He has 5 minutes, so here we go. Now we need to understand in all seriousness is that part of what we need to do too, and one of the great benefits of preaching the gospel is to remove the blood of lost souls from our shoulders. Now, I think we've forgotten that. We have forgotten that we are going to be held accountable for how we have lived before God. We are going to be held accountable on how we have dealt with other individuals here upon the earth. We're going to be held accountable to how we have fulfilled the Great Commission. Don't think that you cannot teach anybody, that you can just live a life of kind of roller coastering or rolling along rather here upon the earth and just kind of attend services and kind of help out where things are needed and kind of say, well, I fulfilled my commission to God. I fulfilled my job to God. No, I haven't taught anybody, but, you know, I just can't really do those things. We had a lesson that included the idea of excuses and reasons. The best definition I ever heard of an excuse for the word excuse is this. It's a veiled lie. Now you think about it. There's a lot of reasons. You know, you can't be in two places at one time. That's impossible, isn't it? But how many of us aren't even in one place? And we could be. But we always have a, as we say, a reason, which really is nothing more than an excuse or nothing more than a lie. Because I can. It's amazing that I can do anything I want to do, isn't it? I can be at every ball game my son has ever played in or ever will play in. I can be at every activity that they have in school. I can be at every wedding, every funeral, every whatever upon the face of the earth, every family thing I can do, but I do not and cannot be there to teach you the gospel. Is that really going to hold up? In fact, I should neglect those family things if that's what's going to keep me from teaching a soul what he needs to do in order to go to heaven. Put your priorities where they belong and where they ought to be. That's what God teaches us, that we need to remove the blood. You see, Paul in Acts chapter 20, as he talked in verses 20, 26, and 27, talked about that he was free or pure from the blood of all men because he had given them everything. He had taught them the whole counsel of God. And one thing, too, and this is just more of a very practical standpoint, why we need to fulfill and the benefit of fulfilling. If we don't, the congregation where you and I attend is going to die out. It's just going to happen. See, God has already told us that His Word will not return unto Him void, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that it's going to work. That it's going to do. I know, you know, people, well, not everybody's going to listen. Well, I understand that, but nobody's going to listen if we don't teach them. And if we don't go out and teach, if we don't give people the opportunity, and I guarantee you there are people out there in this world, it may take a little while, but they're there and they want to become Christians and they will become Christians if somebody cares enough about them to take it out there. And if you and I don't, then age is going to take care of our congregation. We can't even many times convert our young people, our own children. And a lot of it is because we've done more to make sure that they are socially acceptable than they are spiritually acceptable. Preach the Word. That's what God teaches us to do. The Great Commission, we know what it says. Now let's fulfill it. And let's understand that everybody wins. Everybody wins when we do what God tells us to do. Thank you.